That
stuff.
one? Oh, man, that was powerful. I just wanted it to go on and on. And it fits so well with our message today as we are getting down to the last few sermons of the book of Romans. And the last few verses, last couple sermons, we might be able to eke out one or two more out of Romans chapter 16. But really, today, I just want to just focus on one phrase in Romans 16, verse 20. But let's look at verses 19 and 20. They say, "Everyone has heard about your obedience." So Paul's saying to the Romans, "Listen, your reputation precedes you. Your reputation has spread far and wide throughout the churches, throughout all the Christian churches, these brand new churches that are springing up all over the Middle East here." Yeah, they wouldn't have known it as the Middle East. They would have just known it as the world. And they've sprung up all over the place. And your reputation is known there. They've heard about your obedience, how you are standing strong and faithful in the Lord. And so he says, "I rejoice because of you, because I want you to be wise about what is good." Another version says, "Be excellent in what is good." I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Everything that's evil, I want you to just be hands clean from all of that. And everything that is good, I want you to be tuned into that, wise about it, excellent in it. Okay? And then here's the phrase: "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Now, how many have a camp song just going through your head right now? It's like, "Be excellent in what is good and innocent, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." I want to take that phrase by phrase and emphasize a different word throughout, because that verse is so packed. First of all, the God of peace. God. He's talking about the God Almighty, the all-powerful, holy, omniscient, all-wise, all-loving, just, and righteous God. He is the great Almighty God. We're not talking about a great teacher. We're not talking about a great politician or world leader. We're not talking about my mom or your mom, okay? We're not talking about our dads. We're talking about God, the Heavenly Father, okay? Almighty, all-powerful, all-wise, just, and righteous. He is God as we know him. He is triune, which means Trinity, which means three in one, the united oneness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Father, he's our source and author of creation. He's our head. He is our leader. We're working on it to get our slides up here. All right. I think I breezed past a few of these already. Pat's up there working production table by herself. The God of peace. Okay, as Father, he's our source and author of creation. He's our head, and he's our leader. As Son, he's our Savior and Redeemer, example and friend. As the Holy Spirit, he is the immediate presence of God in our hearts. He's the one who gives us eternal spiritual life. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to live a holy, godly life. And he is the one who empowers us to overcome the forces of evil in our lives and in our world, in our atmosphere. It's only the power of God that can crush Satan. It's the power of God that can crush Satan. We don't crush Satan, okay? The archangel Michael doesn't crush Satan. God is the power that crushes Satan, okay? Satan is not equal to God or more powerful than God. Satan must abide by the boundaries that God has put on him. So the first emphasis is God. It's the God of peace. So that's the second emphasis, peace. He's the God of peace that will crush Satan under your feet. You know, there's a lot of attributes of God that you can mention. He is the God of love. He's the God of justice. He's the God of righteousness, the God of mercy, the God of forgiveness, and on, okay? He's God our healer, God our provider. There's all these attributes. But the one that Paul says will crush Satan under your feet is the God of peace. In the world where Satan does his thing, there's chaos, right? In the hearts of unbelievers living in rebellion against God, there's turmoil. In relationships where God is not honored or put first, there's discord and strife. But in God, there is perfect peace. There is shalom. There's shalom. When you are in God through Christ and God is in you by his Holy Spirit, there is shalom, peace, serenity. What is shalom? I've talked about this a lot of times. But shalom means more than peace, right? It's at its heart, shalom embodies wholeness, okay? Completeness, harmony in every aspect of life. It's physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, spiritual well-being, okay? It is the flourishing of your life the way God meant for it. It's a profound sense of inner calm and health and contentment we could all use. A good dose of shalom. And for you as an individual follower of Jesus, shalom means living in alignment with God's design, enjoying a life marked by rest and security and hope. And for a church family, it means we walk together in harmony and we value each other, encourage each other, and care for one another. And so in its fullest sense, shalom means we walk together in harmony. And it means that it's the peace that comes when God's presence reigns. When God's presence is reigning in a place, we have this peace that can only be described by the word shalom, bringing order and beauty and blessing, a peace that's unshaken by the storms of the world. So the world in general, Satan's presence reigns temporarily. Okay, in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, he's called the ruler of the kingdom of the air. To me, that's one of the best descriptions of Satan. He's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." So Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. What's the kingdom of the air? The kingdom of the air is the spiritual realm where forces opposed to God exercise influence over the world. The enemies, the forces, the spiritual forces of evil that are opposed to God operate in the air. In the kingdom of the air. And Satan is the ruler of that kingdom. It's a sphere of influence that surrounds and permeates human society and thought. It's a realm that shapes the ways of the world through deception and pride and rebellion against God and so many other things. And so you think about the air. What do we know about air? I know that air blew down our Eagle's Nest playset out here one time. It did, you know? Air blows down whole big, huge trees, right? Air has blown cars off the road or turned over campers. I've heard about that. Air symbolizes, it's a powerful force, but it's invisible. And it symbolizes the fact that it's invisible, but it's pervasive. It's everywhere. It's all around us right now. Like, you could take, you could go over here and suck in all the air from this spot. And guess what? There's more air. It's all there. You can't empty a space without creating a vacuum in a bulb or something like that, of air. Air is pervasive. And it's the air we breathe. And it's the air that we are living in. When you think of it spiritually, it's the dominant worldview. It's the pervasive mindset of denying God and going the way of the flesh. That's the toxic air that we breathe in the world today. And those who walk apart from God unknowingly are influenced by this spiritual domain. They follow the ungodly worldview of the culture and live according to that value and those patterns. So the ruler of the kingdom of the air is constantly sowing turmoil and anxiety and fear and hopelessness and desperation, selfishness, inner conflict, chaos into the hearts of people. And out of that inner turmoil comes all the division and conflict and war and abuse and slavery and trafficking and arguments and fights and relational brokenness and marriages and in families and in communities and nations. Okay? So the ruler of the kingdom of the air is sowing conflict and chaos, and that's why the God of peace is the one who will crush. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you and among you, my followers. So the kingdom of the air stands in contrast to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that realm where God rules and reigns. It's a new air, a breath of fresh air. It's the kingdom of love and righteousness and holiness and justice and truth and mercy and freedom and peace. And so Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you and it's among you, my followers. So we don't breathe the air of Satan's kingdom anymore. We don't buy into the lies or the deception or the perversion or the corruption. We aren't intimidated by the roar of the toothless lion anymore. We don't kowtow to the ways of the world. We stand in the ways of God and follow him only. We let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, Colossians 3:15. We plant ourselves firmly in the peace of God that transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so when you're in God, you begin to possess this inner peace. And you possess this inner peace only after you've entered into peace with God. So the peace of God only comes when you have peace with God. People say, how come there's no peace? Because people don't have peace with God. How come I can't get peace in my life? Well, maybe you're not at peace with God. You got to get right with God. Get right with God, then his peace becomes your peace. Peace with God comes when you stop fighting him. when you come to him humbly and confess that you've been trying to do everything your own way, not his. When you bow down before him and admit that you have been sinning against his holiness in your thoughts and in your words and in your deeds, that when you recognize that you've tried to stand on your own two feet instead of on his grace, when you recognize your complete and utter need for a Savior, for forgiveness, for grace, when you throw yourself on the mercy of God's throne and humbly surrender all of yourself to him, that's how you get peace with God. When you give yourself over to God, all that you have, all that you do, all that you think, all that you feel, all that you are. And then, after surrendering all this to the Lordship of Jesus, you gladly receive him into your heart to be your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer, Healer, Guide, your Guardian, your Protector, your Emancipator, and most of all, your loving Heavenly Father. John 1, 12 and 13 says, to those who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born of God, born of God, born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, listen, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Your first birth ain't going to get it. You don't go to heaven just because you were born and you exist now. You go to heaven because you're born again, born of the Spirit. You've come alive and you've already confessed and surrendered and repented and received and became a child of God. The peace of God starts when you have peace with God. And peace with God happens when you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God giving you new life. Like 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone, the new is here. So, moving on. What happens when you are fully in the God of peace? And the God of peace is fully in you. That very same God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So, let's talk about our least favorite subject, Satan. Okay? We've already said that Satan's the author of chaos and turmoil and anxiousness and torment and all the rest. Satan is a real spiritual being who's at work in the world. We know him. We know about him in Scripture as having been originally created by God as one of the most beautiful, powerful angels in charge of worship and protection. He was a glorious angel. He also had free will. And we know that because he tried to use his free will to usurp God. And because of that insurrection, Satan was cast out of the presence of God and into the earthly realm where the rest of God's biological creations live. Okay? And he exists here to oppose God and lead as many people away from God as he can. That's his mission. He wants to destroy you. He is the enemy of all who follow God, and he will try to lure you away from faith, try to intimidate you into silence about your faith, or trip you up and tear you down. Okay, here's a phrase worth memorizing. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Satan hates you and has a terrible plan for your life. He wants to destroy your soul. He wants to destroy your soul by getting you to destroy yourself. And many of you have been down that path. You've been down that path of self-destruction. And you've sought out all kinds of things, all kinds of habits, all kinds of addictions, all kinds of relationships, all kinds of self-harm, whether it be physical or spiritual or mental or emotional. Satan wants you to destroy yourself. And if he can get you to destroy yourself, then he's accomplished what he wants to do. And destroy yourself, how? By denying Christ. He's trying to get you to deny Christ. And so, Christian, you have a target on your back. Okay? Before you became a Christian, by the way, this is kind of the bad news about being a Christian. All right? The original bad news is that we're all sinners who deserve hell. Okay? Because of the fall, because of our moral bent, because of our rebellion. Okay, we're sinners who deserve hell. The good news is that Jesus died to save you from your sins, so put your faith and trust in him. It's like, yes! I'm saved. God has redeemed me. I'm a child of God now. More bad news. Now I have a target on my back. And Satan's going to pull me back over to here. Okay? And so now I've got a target on my back, and he will try to inflict upon you hurt and pain and temptations to try to get you to deny Jesus and to just say, not worth it. Not worth it, and to fall away. And so destroy yourself, deny Christ, wander from the faith, compromise your moral principles, be too busy to serve God. You know, if Satan can't get you to deny your faith, at least he can keep you preoccupied and distracted so that you don't really pursue your relationship with God and become more and more like Christ and serve God in productive ways. And so, too busy to serve God, or fill your mind with lust and greed and bitterness and hate and resentment, basically to get you to sin against God in thought, word, and deed. So we should be down the next slide. Too busy to serve God, fill your mind and sin. And so what will be his tactics? How will he try to get all these things done? Well, he will use deception. He'll try to trick you into believing things about God that aren't true. Believe things about yourself. I think that's one of the big places that tries to get at Christians. Try to trick you into believing things about the world that aren't actually true. Okay? He will use temptation. Obviously, he will try to lure you into sinning against God and others and yourself by compromising your values and violating God's holiness. He will try to use intimidation. He'll try to scare you into fight, flight, or freeze mode. If he can't stop you, maybe he can. I mean, if he can't get you to deny God, maybe he can intimidate you to just shut up. Okay? He'll try to fill you with fear so that you back down from faith. He will try to use identity confusion. Identity confusion. In other words, he'll try to make you forget that you are a child of God. He'll try to make you forget who you really are. He'll try to make you forget that you are a child of the King of Kings. He'll make you think that you are a worthless piece of garbage, that you have no value. And so he tries to grind you into the ground emotionally by confusing you about who you really are. You need to rehearse who you are in Christ. I've got a whole page that says, My Identity in Christ. And it's got all these verses. I'm a dearly loved child. I'm saved. I'm a ambassador of Christ. I'm a priest. I'm a part of the priest of all believers. I'm a child of the King. And another tactic he will use is hopelessness. He'll try to get you to stray from solid faith and confidence in God and instead start to believe that you're hopeless, that life is hopeless, that all is lost. So that's Satan. Okay? But then let's emphasize another word. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. He will crush Satan. And so how does God crush Satan? You know, this makes me think of going on a hike. And I go on a hike and I have a trail guide, right? Because this is unknown territory. I heard about some hikers that got lost, like in the mountains over there in Wyoming. And they were missing for many days. I don't know if they were ever found. I don't know. But it makes me think of going on such a hike. But I have a trail guide, okay? And the trail guide is leading me, leading the way through the woods and around the trails and through the mountains and through the hills and the vales and all through there. And we come across a dangerous snake, okay? And before I know it, we're right up on it. It kind of catches us off guard, not maybe the trail guide, but it's hissing and it's rattling. And before it can strike, the experienced guide takes his foot, fitted with thick hiking boots, and starts stomping on its head and on its body and on its tail, and it crushes all the rattles and stomps on its head and stomps and stomps and crushes it into the hard path until it's completely neutralized and incapable to scare or intimidate or strike out at all. And then we just continue down our path. No longer threatened by this dangerous snake, okay? The Almighty God has the power that can crush all the devices of Satan. God has the power to neutralize the serpent, to shut the lion's mouth, to switch metaphors, to expose the liar's lies, to beat back the tempter's tricks. God has the power. As the God of peace, His shalom can overcome all the havoc. His shalom can overcome all the chaos, all your anxiety and your angst that Satan's trying to stir up in your mind. So God crushes Satan by filling you with shalom. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So when confusion tries to come in, his peace will guard your mind. When temptation to sin presents itself, his peace will show you the way out. When fear rises up, his peace will guard your heart. When you start to forget who you are, his peace will remind you that you're a dearly loved child of God. You're a powerful soldier of Christ, that you have the authority of the King backing you up. When circumstances start to look hopeless, his peace will inject hope, reminding you that God is the God of hopeless situations, that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will make a shelter from the wind, a refuge from the storm, a stream of water in the desert, and a shade in a thirsty land. Psalm 73:26, one of my favorites, says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So Almighty God, the God of peace, will crush Satan. Now let's bring it home. He'll crush Satan under your feet. This really catches me. This really stands out to me. Whose power is doing the crushing? God's power, the God of peace. But notice these last three words. Whose feet is Satan being crushed under? Yours. Mine. So what's Paul saying here? He's saying that God's power and peace inside you will crush Satan and all his devices and temptations and scare tactics underneath your feet. It's your feet that are crushing the snake on the trail. It's your faith that is gaining the victory, like 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It's your faith. It's your resistance by the power of the Holy Spirit in you that causes the devil to flee. James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It's God's power and your feet. Those are some powerful feet. Just saying, you've not missed leg day, okay? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've been given full authority by God to stand against Satan and his kingdom and to command him out of your life. Look at the believer's authority over the dark forces of evil. Matthew 28, Jesus said to his disciples, including us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus says. "Therefore you go and make disciples of all nations." He's saying that he has all authority under heaven and earth, and he's conferring that authority to us as his ambassadors in the world to make disciples for him. He is granting us disciple-making authority. But even more specific than that, look at Luke 10:19. "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Little side note, if you come across an actual snake on a trail, physically, don't try to stomp on it. We're talking about spiritual power here, okay? Just walk away, give it its space. And sometimes that's what we do with temptations. Just walk away, give them their space, all right? But right here in Luke 10, Jesus is granting us the very authority that Paul's talking about when he said that God will crush Satan under your feet. You will trample on those spiritual snakes and scorpions, Satan and all of his demons, all his temptations, intimidations, and delusions, and confusions. You have this authority because of the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Word of God in your hand, and the armor of God on your whole being. Look at Ephesians 6. We love to look at this, and we've done it several times. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay? God would not send you into this kind of war without giving you the authority to wage it. You have this authority. You have authority over Satan. You do. He has authorized you and he has equipped you to crush Satan under your very own feet. With the armor of God, you can stand against everything the devil can throw at you. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. So with the full armor of God, at the end of the day, you are going to be the one who has done the crushing, you will be the one left standing. So he gives us this authority. He gives us this armor to wage war. Now look at the pieces of the armor. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of what? Truth. Buckled around your waist. So we have the word of God, which is revealed, the revealed truth of God, about reality, about heaven and hell. Okay, the truth holds all the armor together. And then the second part says, with the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Good job, church. The breastplate of righteousness in place. Christ's righteousness becomes our righteousness when we have surrendered to him and put our faith into him. And so he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that righteousness guards our vital organs. Okay, verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the what? The something of peace. Gospel. The gospel of peace. These are your heavy hiking boots, okay, that crush the snake. Or maybe they're not heavy. Maybe you can run in them too, but they're powerful. And the gospel of peace is the message that we carry to the world that obliterates the liar who brings chaos and strife and conflict and discord into the hearts of men and women. Verse 16. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I love this one. Our faith is like a shield that we can maneuver this way and that way, right? And go up, down, around, okay? I can actually use it as a weapon. That's what they would do. If you ever watch those movies where they have shields, they beat on people with them, okay? But you can hold up your shield. When the devil shoots an arrow of fear, you can lift up your shield of faith and deflect that arrow, knowing that love drives out all fear. When the devil shoots an arrow of doubt in God's goodness, we raise up our shield and believe that God is good and that all things work together for the good of those who love him, are called according to his purpose. When the devil shoots an arrow of hopelessness, we position our shield of faith to extinguish that arrow because hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's the shield. In verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation. Good job. Christ's salvation protects our minds from being swayed by the devil's deceptions and confusions. Helps us think straight, okay? Helps us think spiritually. Helps us think fourth dimensionally. Help us think and see the world from God's point of view. And then he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we take up the word to come against the spiritual forces of evil with an offensive attack. The sword is an offensive weapon. Okay, it's not defense, it's offense. All right, you charge with your sword. You don't hunker back and try to not get hurt too much or knuckle down. Okay, you attack, you charge with the sword. And you charge with the sword against the spiritual forces of evil. So we use the truth of Scripture and the message of the gospel to charge Satan's territory. Now, what does that mean? Well, at the very least, it means we are charging the territory and winning people away from Satan's kingdom of the air and into the kingdom of God. The sword of the Spirit empowers us to gain territory. It empowers us to storm the gates of hell, break them open, and release prisoners from Satan's grip. Jesus said, on this rock, the rock of his kingship and his messiahship, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Gates don't charge. Okay, gates lock in. Gates lock in or lock out, right? And so he says, this truth of who I am, the gates of hell will not prevail against that. In other words, we're charging the gates and we're breaking them open. And we're bringing the prisoners and helping to set them free by the power of God, who will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Christ's disciples have been granted authority and the power to stand against Satan and his kingdom and to crush it underneath his feet. You're a powerful person, Christian. You have authority. You have power over the spiritual forces of evil. You can rebuke the devil and he must flee. You can resist the devil and he will flee. As you step into every day, I want to challenge you to consciously put on this armor, wield these spiritual weapons with purpose. Let faith be your steadfast shield and salvation your unwavering helmet. Take up the word of God not as a passive listener, but as a bold warrior, ready to advance light into darkness. Live knowing that you are empowered, you are authoritative, not just to withstand an attack, but to reclaim ground and break chains and bring hope where despair once reigned. The authority is yours. The victory is promised. Walk in it. And let your life be a testament to the conquering power of Christ at work within you. Let's stand. Lord God Almighty, you are good. You are powerful. You are all-knowing. You are omniscient. You are omnipotent. You are omnipresent. And you are in us. Your kingdom is in us. Your Spirit is in us. God, help us to walk in breathing the fresh air of the air of the kingdom of God. Breathing in your strength. Help us to walk in the truth and in the light and to advance forward courageously with the God of peace giving us peace. And we pray it in Jesus' strong, powerful name. Amen.
We're going to worship the Lord through our giving at this time. If you're a guest with us today, please don't feel compelled to participate. We just want you to feel welcome.
I was walking the wayside, lost on a lonely road. I was chasing the high life, trying to satisfy my soul. All the lies I believed in left me crying like the rain. Then I saw lightning from heaven, and I've never been the same. I'm gonna climb a mountain, I'm gonna shout about it. But I saw you in the flames. Just when I thought it was over,
Great week, everybody. Come check out CR tonight, and we'll see you next Sunday.